I welcome back. We appreciate you hanging with us on this Tuesday afternoon as we get you ready for the NHA. That's the No House Advantage NBA Strategy Show. Myself, Terry in the house, Tyler is producing. No House Advantage is providing the next half hour for you. So you might as well take full advantage of it. We have a promo code, AWESOMO. We'll tell you about it throughout this program here. You put in 25 and then we'll match up to 25 as well. $50 can get you a long ways. Just hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. Terry, my friend, another week to take a look at the NBA. You are back home in your regular studio, your regular confines. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. In the house, very literally. I'm back in the old studio, for better or worse, in my somewhat small apartment here in Jersey City, but always good to get home. It was a nice few days hanging out with my parents. Great Thanksgiving with, got to see my niece, my sister. Saw the parents, of course, hung out at the house. We watched the entire 8+ hour Beatles documentary on Disney Plus through the course of the 4 or 5 days, whatever I was there. It's pretty terrific, actually, for anybody out there. Who, are you a Beatles guy?
I'm not a Beatles guy. All right.
Right. So yeah. We didn't like grow up with the Beatles, exactly. Right? We're not quite that old. Right. Yeah. You and I are roughly the same age, but yeah, we're not at that level, but I mean, my parents always listened, and then in college and everything got into it with a bunch of my friends. So it was just really cool. But if you have any interest in like just the collaborative process, how artists get together and like these things form over like the course of like 30 days, it's just an amazing, amazing documentary. One of the best rock and roll documentaries I've ever seen, regardless of whether you like the Beatles or not. I mean, it's so good. Really well done.
Yeah, Tyler's right, by the way, in our own chat here, as far as that's up Emax alley. Like Emax lives that. he's the only one on channel that could say that. All right, my friend, we never have enough time here. You and I can kill as much time as humanly possible on anything as we're just on the new Dexter, but we only have a couple of minutes here really to dive into tonight on the NHA slate. And the beauty of it, we constantly tell people at No House Advantage, is you're playing 10-point down to 1, 7-down to 1, depending on the tournament. Confident level picks that you have at the top, right through ones that are a little bit more of a risk. And the beauty of it, Terry, is that we on AWESOMO, Alex and company, have put together projections to make this as easy and simple as possible for everybody out there to play on No House Advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the way that we put these things out at the site. It's pretty perfect for setting up your lineup cards. It's just all I do. I put it into a little dashboard here where I get all the player stats so I can talk about it on the show. But really, all you need is the line, what Alex's projection is, and then what the two probabilities of it going over or under are based on our simulations using Alex's projections, the industry leader, the global leader in doing this stuff. And you just put it side by side and you can sort by either probability. You grab the top shares from these different plays that we're going to talk about, and it comes together really easily. And if you don't want to do that much work, we've got pages where we're just doing it for you and you can just literally copy them. So it's a pretty killer offering to get into to this site. It's really, really strong.
Yeah, we always mention too here that the optimal lineups may not update until we get closer to tip, but our own projections that we build off of unders and overs where you can sort with are updated throughout. So we have a ton to start, and these look heavily updated right now. And a couple of 100s, very rare that we have 100s in the building across the board. Now the overs haven't been updated quite yet for Devontae Graham and Paul George. That's why they're both sitting at 100, but the unders look somewhat up, right? I mean, those are
I think we're pretty up to
Blake
speed
Griffin,
here,
so. Right? I think we have to start with Blake. We have two options with Blake to go with the 100 on the under.
Yeah, and we're projecting Blake for 1.7 minutes, and that's just kind of so he's got like a presence so that he appears on the sheet is the way I'm thinking about those minutes. Like we've also got De'Ron Sharpe and Kessler Edwards projected for 1.7 minutes. I think we've got you projected for 1.7 minutes on here as well. So it's just a placeholder. By all accounts, Blake is expected to be out of this rotation entirely at this point. So if you can book a spot where, you know, maybe he sees 2 minutes in like garbage time or 4 minutes in garbage time, we're talking about a PRA of, or excuse me, a points plus assists of 10.5. Alex hasn't projected at 0.69. If we go up to the PRA, it's 15.5. Alex hasn't projected for 1.08. that's pretty clearly going under in that event. That unless something changes, which we'll have news on, where you know they are shorthanded tonight. Joe Harris got surgery. We're expecting a big night from a player. I'm sure we'll talk about on the other side in a minute. But Blake, right now, with pending news, is out of this rotation. So I think that's a really easy one to book, sitting at 100%. And then the other guy, I don't know if you caught the strategy show this morning, but there's a lot of enthusiasm the other way for the other guy who's sitting here at our 100% probability to go under. So that's an interesting one to talk about. I assume Chris Boucher was your next man up on your list?
Yes, but I do want to get back to Griffin real quick, because this is something that we talk a lot about on both NHA shows, really, the football show, NFL show tomorrow that we do with Greg, and then you and I do this on Tuesdays here with the NBA, where you're not going to slit like that under doesn't cash if Griffin doesn't play. That's the big thing.
Yeah, if he's ruled out for some reason, then that's going to be off the board, and you'll see it come off the board. But assuming that he's there, he's active, and he just gets like a minute or whatever, it's that's a pretty easy one to go to. Boucher between the two, I think, is maybe more likely to see a little bit of time tonight. Yeah. But it's another situation where we're not expecting very much from him. I'll see where Alex has him projected in terms of minutes. Yeah, Alex is just giving him like a placeholder as well at 1.4. It's another situation where the team is shorthanded. That was another big point of contention on the strategy show this morning. But we expect most of the front court minutes to get soaked up by Siakam, by Precious, and then we've got it looks like Delano Blanton at power forward taking up a little bit of it. But excuse me, that's FanDuel positioning as has him as a power forward. He's a guard though. So I don't really know where we're going for the rest of the big man minutes if it's not to Boucher. So maybe he gets up to like 6, 8, something like that. Yeah. But I think it's just going to be that tight rotation where we're just seeing a lot of this front court minutes go to those guys. And then like Scotty Barnes picks up some of the slack and it just gets piled into that front court, into that regular group of like 8, 9 guys. If we see Gary Trent scratch, that's another body, another chunk of minutes off the floor. And that could just lead them to Boucher by default. But, as we've talked about, he's not a massive producer. So I would be comfortable going to either one of these for the under. We're seeing him sitting at a 17.5 points plus rebounds. Alex has him at 1.14. PRA at 16.5. Alex has it at 6.26. Pick either one at 100% seems fairly likely.
Well, and that's, again, the point here, too, where we're building these. You can only use these guys once. So if you're going, and again, it doesn't matter for Griffin, points and assists or PRA, it's going to be the same 100. And also for Boucher, right, where you're talking about 100 here. So we'll slot whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's the same odds that it's going to hit, and that's 100, which are pretty damn good. So those two guys are now off the board. We do have one other 100 to get to, and that's Josh Jackson. Now, the good news is that Jackson has a couple of other ones that are a little higher, like a 99, for example, and we never looked a gift horse in the mouth by any means, but 99 we scoff at when we have a 100 on the board, Terry. So I imagine that after building the first two, we now have Josh Jackson and we can slot in at that 100 spot.
Yeah, and this might be the one in terms of a guy who is just going to be on the court for at least a handful of minutes pretty reliably. We've got him projected at 8.9, so there's a realistic idea that he's going to play, and he's just not going to do very much with it. We've got, for the season, playing about 20 minutes a game, but we've got him coming in around half that. He produces, he's at a 51.2% true shooting, 14.6% assist share, 9.2% rebounding rate. But given the limited role that we're expecting for him this evening, I think it's fair to say that that's another one we can target on that PRA. 16.5, Alex has it at 6.26 in that limited run. So that's another one, unless we get changing news about a expanded role for him in that spot, I think it's certainly one we can go to. He only played 7 minutes coming back the last game. It was 19, 20, and 11 the three games before that, 15 the game before that. Averaging 15.3 over the last three. Alex has him coming in about half that. So again, pending any news or anything like that, I think that's one we can kind of book with a lot of confidence.
All right. And as you see, we've gone 10, 9, 8. So the strongest plays, the most confident plays, Tyler is putting them in there as we go down this list here. And it's that easy. I mean, we've spent all but what, a couple of minutes. We went to our own projections, which are free, and sorted by under, saw a bunch of 100s. And now we can kind of exhale Like, we're at the 7-point play now, and we're still at the 99 percentile range. So granted, there are a couple of guys we can choose from. We will hit start getting to that over in a minute, although really LaMarcus Aldridge right now is at 98%. So we do have the benefit of being a little patient here, man. But yeah, I mean, we've already used a couple of these guys right now that are in that 99 range, except for Tristan Thompson, who makes an appearance with PRA at 16.5. The line, the projection is at 9.46, and that's at 99.79.
Yeah, and another one that's you know, looking somewhat strong on the board there. I'm just pulling up Thompson to see where we've got him projected. Got him sitting at a 12-minute projection for the night. Over the last three games, he's averaged 18 a night, 22, 20, and 12. So maybe slightly light on the minutes projection. But Alex has him at a 9.46 PRA, and it's a 16.5 line, a 16.5 line. So, I mean, even if he comes up a little bit in terms of the minutes over where we've got him projected, I think you're fairly safe with that one. Given the minutes average over the last few games, I might consider, you know, a slight down bump, but we've seen a lot of mix and match action going on in that front court anyway. And we've got some questions. It looks like Mo Harkless questionable. So just taking another guy out of that rotation. Harrison Barnes still doubtful with his foot. So there's definitely something to do there. So we might see Thompson in that, you know, in that closer to 18, 20 minute range. Another piece to maybe monitor the news, see if there's any news about him in the rotation and what the expectation is. But given the current news, given the current projection, 99.79, that's a little bit difficult to ignore anytime we're talking probability.
Right. And the thing is, what are we really looking at as far as a ceiling? You mentioned the projection for minutes is 12.5.
Yeah, it was...
somewhere in that range.
We have him at a 12-minute projection.
12-minute projection. Okay, so if he's not going to go over that to the tune of like 24 minutes tonight, right? Like 25 minutes tonight. I don't think it would be that much of a leap. Could we see 16, maybe 18?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we could. The last two, like I said, the last two, which is all the flux in that front court, you've seen 22 and 20 minutes over the last two. So there is a reasonable expectation that he could see a few more minutes, but it's not going to be, he's not going to go out and play 34 minutes and smash through this thing. And just looking at his averages for this season in 14.1 minutes, which is notably a little bit higher than what we've got him projected for tonight, he's only averaging an 11.8 PRA for the season. So that's putting him still roughly 5 behind where the line is. I think we've got room on this one. So even if it's not actually 99.79% likely to hit the under,
right?
If it's 80%, are we really, really sweating it that much coming when it's coming down into, you know, our 6, 7, 8 spots here? I think we're pretty good with that one.
Yeah. And that, I guess, was my point too, in mentioning that, where even if he goes up a little bit in minutes, it's still hard to hit. It's not going to explode for, you know, 12 points in 16 minutes. We're not going to see Thompson do that by any means. All right. Now we've hit the over range, at least. When we look at Cody Zeller is really the next, and Paul Millsap are the next two available guys when it comes to the under. But always go back and forth. Make sure that you're not missing anybody here. The overs, we still have to wait for Devontae Graham and Paul George as far as that being officially sorted here. But LaMarcus Aldridge is popping up. And really the only workable guy, one slot, would be LaMarcus Aldridge rebounds. I say that because there's a 4-point drop, really 3.5-point drop from 98 to 94.6. The next prop for LaMarcus Aldridge being PRA, Terry. So we'd have to go back to the unders, and it looks like we can get in with this one over of Aldridge rebounds, and of all the ones that Alex has projected, rebounds being the strongest.
Yeah, and we've got that. It's a 4.5 line. We've got it as 98.03% probable to hit the over. I think that's low. Yeah. It's absurd to say. Yeah. LMA for the season averaging 5.9 rebounds in 22.1 minutes a game. We've got him projected for 10 additional minutes. I mentioned Joe Harris coming out of that rotation with his surgery. We're just expecting there to be more for LMA to do, more minutes for him to soak up in this rotation tonight and for the foreseeable future. He's been great this season. I was kind of sleeping on it a little bit. I guess I wasn't getting to him on the right nights DFS wise, but he's been very, very good. 62.7% true shooting, 12.9% rebound percentage, and a 6.3% assist rate, 1.17 fantasy points per minute on 23% usage. There is a ton for him to do on the court in 32.7 minutes tonight. So I love any one of those that you want to pick for the over, and they're all 90 plus percent. So you can mix and match different ones of those as you feel free. But for me, yeah, that, that rebounding one is just dramatically low.
All right. So we can switch back now, as I'm just looking at our ticket here that Tyler's building. We're in that 5-point range. And this is what's great here is that we're starting to hit the middle of this, literally in the middle here at five, and getting to the lower cost points, which are really designed for bigger risk plays. But in the case of, and this is why we keep telling you, Alex and Awesomeo are doing the work for you, where you don't have to take any risk. Your 2 and 1 point plays eventually are going to be in like the low 90 or high 89%. And that alone is putting you ahead of the majority of the field outside anybody else who's watching this show.
That's it. And there's just so many people. If you think in terms of the public and the way that they approach all of the different fantasy sites, when you get a unique site like this one, where you're picking something wildly different, you're getting that, that gambler's mentality of just like, hey, I like this guy. I think this is what it's going to be. I'm going to throw a bet on it, whatever. It just, people don't think about bets and about props and lines like this the right way. So when you can just have it clear cut with these tools, you've got a major, major advantage over a lot of the other people using this site. So for me, these are the great sites to exploit while they're, you know, building their popularity levels, these newer sites where people don't necessarily have the game cracked, where you don't have to worry about, you know, about people using 1,000 different sites that have similar projections, like what we're getting in regular in NBA DFS this season. There's just been, they were talking about it again on the strategy show this morning. We're seeing guys that would have been in years past, maybe 25% popular because they look like a great play point per dollar value, going basically double that. And just the field just on very, very, the right plays very efficiently. So it's been interesting in DFS, but I think there's an advantage to that on these other sites where people aren't nearly as sharp.
Is that just a result of not having as many people give sharp projections on NHA compared to the bigger sites?
Yeah, I think so. I just think there aren't a lot of places where you can get the data that we're providing for this type of site, these type of contests. You know, at best, a lot of people are probably defaulting to wherever they get gambling picks from. Yep. And, you know, take it or leave it. It depends on where you go. Of course, there are sharper places than others, but there's a lot of places in that industry that just aren't very sharp. And certainly nobody who's doing it with Alex's projections, with our simulations that are proven over time through the DFS vehicle. We're just translating that into the betting markets now. So for betting at our Odds Shopper site, you can use Odds Shopper to sort these things. You can use the way we've got it presented on the website on Awesomeo. There are many different ways to approach this, but we give you a major advantage when it comes to NHA.
All right, man. So let's keep it moving here. And speaking of which, we do have a promo code for you to use. So if you're brand new, you're watching, first off, hit that thumbs up button, please. Major for us. Make sure you're subscribed, not just the DFS channel, the Odds channel, the season-long fantasy football channel. We have tons of content, video on demand, instructional to just what's going on, to what to do the very night, like tonight here in the NBA, that we're building on No House Advantage. And that promo code, you put in 25 and we'll match up to 25 on Awesomeo. So let's keep it going here. I'm back on the under category, and I think we have a couple of guys really to get to. Cody Zeller and Paul Millsap are the next two guys in line that we haven't used. They're both PRA props, and they're both under. Zeller at 97 and nearly 98, and Millsap just at 96.5.
And I'm over in the chat talking Dexter real quick.
I know, that's my fault.
Yeah, Zeller and Millsap. I was listening though, Zeller and Millsap.
I opened up that door.
I just didn't have it immediately in front of me, so I wanted to fill the second while I was transitioning from
the first four. You got me on it. I hated the last two seasons, and they were awful. Yeah. And the first four episodes are good. I'm in.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man, you know, you bring back the original people who created these things, and lo and behold, they're good again. It's pretty amazing how that works. But yeah, these unders are fun. You get to talk about a lot of guys who you don't necessarily talk through on some of the DFS sites as well. And that's another thing that's to your advantage in looking at the unders, particularly the unders versus the overs. A lot of the overs, like LMA, he's going to be a future player. He's like 40% owned across the DFS industry. When we're talking about guys like Josh Jackson, Cody Zeller, Paul Millsap, these are guys who are not getting much attention across the DFS industry because they're not projected to do very much here. So yeah, Millsap PRA 10.5. We've got it sitting at 6.96 in that New York Brooklyn game. We talked about, you know, the potential for there to be a little bit of additional minutes, but he's averaging 10.9 minutes a night. Last three, he's averaged 11.7, saw eight the last time out, saw 10 before that. So the average is up because of a 17 minute night wedged in between there. Assuming he goes in that 10 minute range, I think we're perfectly fine to take that one. That's looking pretty sharp. That's just how we use this this board. The Zeller one, I think, is largely related to he's been banged up and largely absent. It was 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, missed a game, then came back for 18. So that's kind of interesting. I would say that one is somewhat pending any kind of news. I'll pull him up to see where we've got him projected. Yeah, we've got him projected at 10.2 minutes right now. Yeah. So I feel like that's probably fair for what we can expect from him. PRA wise, 12.5. We've got him at 8.12 in 12.9 minutes a night. He averages a 10.2. So he averages an under, unless he explodes for minutes like that 18 minute night the other night. I think we're pretty safe there, but maybe it's when you book a little further down the card than the 97% might suggest right now.
All right. So we really don't have a ton left as far as space right now, where we're kind of down to that 4-3 point range, down to 2-1, ultimately, where we close this out. I say that because we're still up in that low 90 percentile here. We've used both Zeller and Millsap. Does open up Larry Nance. Now Thompson's off the board. Josh Jackson's off the board. So we're getting into Larry Nance Jr., 94% that his PRA goes under. Russ Westbrook, there's a 91.7% chance, technically 91.8, really, if we round up, that Russ goes under his assist. We do have, though, Terry, just to bring it back, a couple of overs that I believe were in the 94. Now, they're LaMarcus Aldridge. So if we wanted, we could slide Desmond Bane over threes. He's at 1.5 on NHA. Alex has him projected for 3.35. So that's a 92.6% shot that hits.
Yeah, for threes, that's I think that's pretty apt. He's taking, I was just pulling up a different board entirely, my per game board here. He's taking 6.5 a game, making 2.5 a game, 38.5% from three on the season. We're expecting him to get a little bit of additional run. We've got him projected at 30 minutes right now. He's averaging 28.7 for the season. A little bit more to do. You know, maybe he gets a little bit of an uptick on his 20.8% usage rate. So a couple extra shots. He's presumably going to make a couple extra threes. I like that one to hit. So yeah, if you're looking for one that's floating in that 80% range, I think that's definitely interesting, as are really any of his. They're all sitting in that range. So as a down card type of a play, I think any one of his is viable, but I kind of like that three pointer.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, especially where we have it in the range of what's available to us. So we'll slide that in there just to keep a couple of overs on our ticket and not just root for everybody to suck from an under standpoint. We do have either of these, or which of the two. Now there's a little difference in projection. You're getting a roughly 2.5 point break on percentage, technically, on Larry Nance Jr. at 94.4 versus Russ at 91.8. But if you were looking at either one of those, Larry Nance going under his PRA or simply Westbrook going under his assists?
The Westbrook assist line kind of popped off the page to me. It's just one that I feel like, you know, maybe it's not a common play for people, or at least it'll get too much weight on the over for sure. Like, that's just one people think of Russ as the triple double machine, right? But 10.5 assists, that's a sturdy line. He's averaging 8.7 for the season in 36.3 minutes. We've got him projected for the night at 34.5 minutes. 38.1 assist share is certainly a fantastic assist rate for this guy, but he's averaging less than that, and he's not projected for more minutes than the average. We're going to have all three big pieces almost definitely, AD pending, as always, but we're almost definitely going to have all three pieces in that rotation. So it takes a little bit away from him in terms of everything that he does, even with, you know, excellent options to dish to. LeBron just is usage heavy, handles the ball a lot, and doesn't always necessarily come from Russ. So it takes away maybe a little bit on the potential assists. So at 91.79% likely to come in under the 10.5, Alex has him projected at 7.79. That seems like a really strong play for kind of a name brand guy.
All right, man. I love it. I think, you know, we've gone down now to taking risks with 89 to 88 percentile. Just looking what's left here.
Are you just trying to be nice by not throwing the Julius Randle one in my face?
I mean, it's a big number, 43.5, right? It's a big number for PRA. He's expected minutes. I would think he's taking on the Nets here. So is there any injury concern, or is there anything? I know that the whole backcourt issue has been solved allegedly by Tom Thibodeau, but here's what I would say. I'm always surprised when we see a star's PRA as an under. Westbrook, I can get one specific stat I can get because it's always circumstantial depending on what's happening around them. But I'm a little surprised that Randall's PRA under 43.5 is at 91.5. I will give you that.
Yeah, maybe it comes in a little bit high at the 91.5. It's Alex has him taking a little bit of a minutes haircut, where we could definitely see one of those nights where Tibbs just decides to play him for, you know, 40 plus minutes, given the question marks in the Knicks front court, as well as the known knowns in the backcourt. We've got Derrick Rose questionable again, which could create more ball handling opportunities for a guy like Randle, who is a very, very capable passer for a big. We know that Kemba is out of the rotation with Alec Burks taking over the point guard duties. We can make educated guesses where some of those backup ball handling duties will go, with guys like Emmanuel Quickley coming off the bench, Rose if he plays, obviously. But we've also got both Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson as question marks, questionable for this game as well, which there's just a lot to go around in terms of rebounds. That said, it's like I said, it's shorter on the minutes. And even if we were to give him the 35 minutes that he's averaging for this season, he's only coming in at a 34.4 PRA average. So we're still asking him to go basically 9 above his average PRA. If we throw him 5 additional minutes and pretend like we know he's going to play 40 minutes, do I think he gets there? Yeah. But if we're only giving him his average or right around, I think that's a pretty solid under, even if it's not 91, call it an 81. We're awesome. Still, I'm still interested.
Look, this ticket's going to win money.
As a Knicks fan, it's not awesome.
Well, as a Sixers fan, it's actually better than awesome. So once this ticket here wins your tournament tonight, Tyler, on NHA, we want a little cut at the very least. We don't ask that of everybody else out there. We just ask you to hit that thumbs up button, please, and make sure you're subscribed. You can follow along on Twitter at DigitalB21, at Shander Show for me. Your homework out there: sign up for No House Advantage. Use our promo code AWESOMO. You put in 25, we put in 25, and watch the first 4 episodes of the new Dexter. Is that fair?
Love it. There you go.
Thank you all for hanging. Have a great night.